Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
In the days ahead, you're going to see how fear and faith are going to be the fighting factions all the way through this thing. And you're going to have a heart that's filled with faith instead of fear. And you've got to be able to look at it and say, well, wait a minute, this is what the Word of God says, and I choose to believe the Word of God.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the Word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for being with us again for Revive Radio. Let's return to this recent message series with Pastor Rogers. This is Leading in a Crisis, Part 5. Let's get back into the message today.
And then one day God got mad and Moses turned around and said, God, don't destroy them. Wouldn't it have been a bad thing if God and Moses had come into agreement one day? There wouldn't even be any Hebrew children. I'm just saying to you that Moses is a figure in the Word of God that lets us know if a leader like that can get to a place where he would get depressed or into a place of despair, you and I can relate. Jeremiah is another one. Jesus is another one. That I can go on and on with these particular individuals and characters in the Word of God. But suffice to say for us tonight, most everything we've ever learned, we learned from and through a crisis inside of our life. I want to say something here that really I believe is a prophetic statement for us. And you'll find it in the Word of God repeated over and over again. Anytime there is a birth or a rebirth, as we're now talking about the government and people are thinking hard about reopening the country. How does that look like? What does that look like? When are we supposed to do it? All of that. That is where Satan fights the most, is when there is the birth or a rebirth that takes place. You need to know that. Anywhere there is the birth of a child coming in, you're going to find the enemy there to destroy it. All the way to Revelation 17, where the woman who is great with child births the nation of Israel as it's a picture of the baby being born. And there is the dragon that is ready to devour the child. Hear me. Anytime there is a rebirth, a revival that is on the horizon, when that's about to push through the birth canal and be reopened, there will be the intensity of spiritual warfare. And I believe we're seeing that right now because there's about to be a rebirthing take place. Many leaders and people are dealing now with anxiety and pressure and depression and stress like they never have in their life. And part of it, years ago, I studied this out a little bit about the process of decision making and the complexity of decision making. They call it decision fatigue, when people have to make so many decisions that after a while it drains your mind. Some of the leaders of I think it was Microsoft and others, you always saw him dress in a black turtleneck, black pants. And they asked him one time, why do you do that? He said, it's one less decision I have to make every day. Then I don't have to figure out what color goes with what matches what, because it just takes that decision, because it gives me an opportunity to make decisions for other things that are more important. So leading yourself is the first step to leadership, whether you're the leadership of one or your family or a business or a church, whatever that it may be. And I want to remind you of this fact that you've been hearing through this entire lesson series. Management is the key to leading. Management of your money, your job, your mind, which is we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Whatever that it may be, if you don't manage it, you will lose it. So you've got to make up your mind that I'm going to manage the thoughts and the things that come through my mind. It does not mean you're not going to get hit with temptation or even the attack on your life of anxiety and pressure and stress, but you've got to learn what to do with it and how to divest it so that the Word of God can be the champion inside of your life. Now, the economic pressures economic depression causes mass depression throughout any nation that it comes to. It takes the mind of a nation, and this is what we're dealing with. It's the reason I'm speaking directly. I'm targeted here tonight with an arrow on the bullseye, because now I believe that while we're still dealing with the virus and the sickness of all that, the economics of this have now superseded, in many ways, the decision-making process of the virus. So it takes the minds of a nation when you start seeing economic depression take place, and it turns it to a negative in their minds. What ifs? In fact, economic depression becomes worse than a recession. I've lived through some recessions, but I've never lived through the depression as it was in 29 and 30. There are those of you that have lived through that. And you know what that was all about, the rationing tickets and not having enough to make ends meet. You talk about job losses and all of that, and America saw that. Are we on the edge of that? I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like in the days ahead, but I've got to be ready for that in my mind and in my spirit, no matter what the future holds. And God has the answer to all that. Now, let me tell you, there's three steps that takes place, and you're seeing this happen on the streets of America right now. Depression turns into desperation that turns into despair. And when people get in this cycle and they don't have any direction or where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? That's when you get anarchy. Listen to me, church and Christians and believers. You're not part of that. You've got to get a hold of the Word of God and let the Word of God get a hold of you. Because if you don't, you will be controlled by your feelings like the rest of this world. Hear what I'm telling you. We have, and I spoke this to the folks here just before we came live with you, that we have the government that is trying to be able to make right decisions. But they are, by and large, and we pray for them constantly because they're making decisions and hard decisions, and I get it. But there are any number of factions that are going on, and we have more of a fear-filled mindset that's telling people in the world and in the United States specifically, this is what's going to happen. And they only work out of data and out of lists and this is how many we've had and this is the curve and all that. But this is the difference between the world's mentality and what we call the faith-based or believers, Christians, church members and so forth, believers in their soul, having faith in God. In the days ahead, you're going to see how fear and faith are going to be the fighting factions all the way through this thing. And you're going to have a heart that's filled with faith instead of fear, because there's going to be some decisions that are handed down that are based completely out of the root of fear. And you've got to be able to look at it and say, well, wait a minute, this is what the Word of God says, and I choose to believe the Word of God. Okay? Depression leads to desperation that leads to despair. And in a depressed state of mind, how do I know I'm in that state of mind? I start losing hope. It feels like there is no hope. It feels like I have no control over the situation. Now, stay with me, because I'm going to help you here. Life, as we know it right now, is virtually being taken over by the government and by banking lending institutions. Because now it comes back to that infamous statement that people want to ignore, but it always comes back to it. You've heard it in the political realm many years ago. It's the economy, stupid. Guess what? This virus is now giving way to the mindset of the economy. How am I going to survive? Some are deciding already that it's over and they're already taking their life. That's not for the child of God. One crisis piling on top of another, violence in our land and abuse and drugs and alcohol, all that kind of stuff's going on, but that's not for the child of God. But it's shifted now. I can sense this, how that people are now asking the questions, not what am I going to do, how am I going to make it? They're thinking about basic needs. And then people are making decisions about, I get $1,200 in my hand and I can't wait to go spend it. And Amazon has now got it all and you don't have anything. Go back and listen to some of these management leading in a crisis lessons that I've taught before. This is not a time for you to go out there and start making frivolous kind of decisions. Living by biblical principles is not easy. But it is proven in the time of a crisis. When you live by biblical principles and you get that in your spirit and you operate yourself and your family and your business like that, I mean, common sense would say, okay, let's give Chick-fil-A a pass. We're in the middle of a crisis. They can't have anybody inside of the store. So, you know, let them open up on Sunday. Thank God they're staying true to their principles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, while the lines are around the block at many restaurants, they're still staying true to the biblical principle of honoring the Lord, and God will honor them. That's a biblical principle. Now, that's hard to get across to people who have not yet, they haven't been walking with the principles and with in faith before they got to this point. So to even try to start preaching and teaching that to some people, they say, I don't want to hear that. Just give me something in my hand. Well, I'm going to give you something better than a meal. I'm going to give you something better than just a few dollars. I'm giving you the principles of God's word right here that's going to keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus in the days that are ahead. So, from a spiritual and practical standpoint that we've been dealing with these lessons with you on, the leaders, get this, and I don't know if this is on your paper or not, but I'm giving it to you now. Leaders always face whatever it is first. So before your children, before your spouse, before your employees, before your congregation, whatever it may be, you read it in the Word of God, the leader will have always already experienced those crisis moments so that they can be a leader in that crisis moment. I was sharing with someone the other day how that the different occupations that I have held in my life before I took into the 30-year pastoring of a church, it was in the middle of the fire service that taught me how to deal with crisis moments in the immediate. Somebody is bleeding. Somebody's in a crisis. Those things taught me. I had no idea how I would be using them in the future, but the fact is those moments taught me. When I read the Word of God and I've walked with the Lord, you go through experiences in your life that teach you, it should, so that you can draw near to God, so that when we get to a crisis like this, that you're not losing your mind like everybody else is. You should look at your neighbor and tell them, this is no time to lose your head. Okay? This is not the time for you to lose it. This is the time for you to take hold of it. This is the time for the Word of God to rule your every step. So from the spiritual and practical standpoint, leaders always face things first. Even depression. I want you to know a lot of times, and when I reflect on some of the bios that I've read, Winston Churchill and FDR and others in time past, when they had to make these incredible decisions for this country and for their country and what was going on, you find many times that they're dealing with depression at the same time they're leading. Isn't it amazing? It would be one thing if I could get through the deal and then, okay, I'm ready to go. But you're dealing with it at the same time that people are looking at you saying, which way do we go? What do we do? We've got to have Christians and believers. I hope somebody's getting this tonight. If you're getting a hold of this, give me a thumbs up. Here's the deal. We've got to have leaders that know how to carry the burden of whatever it is I'm walking through and still be able to say, like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. That's real leadership. Sometimes, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus carrying the weight of the future of a crucifixion on his shoulder while he's turning around breaking bread and feeding multitudes. I mean, you know that he had that in the back of his mind. You know that he spoke to the disciples multiple times and said, they're going to crucify me, they're going to spit on me, they're going to mock me, they're going to beat me, and finally, you know, they're going to kill me out here. He knew that. They didn't understand that. Jesus is carrying that in the back of his mind, and all the while he's putting children up in his lap saying, blessed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is not a time for you to lose your mind. This is a time for you to get a hold of it and conduct yourself with hope that is in God. The Bible says, hope thou in the Lord. Get this passage of scripture. It may be on your paper, may not. Psalm 50 and verse number 15. Call upon him in the day of trouble. And I will deliver you. That's what God's word said. Call upon him. Have you called upon the Lord? I know you've called your neighbor. I know you've called AT&T. I know you've called Mediacom. I know you've called on everybody else. You've called on Walmart, Amazon, and everything else. But have you called on the Lord? Because if you haven't called on the Lord, you're not calling the right person yet.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Until then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.